Welcome to the Dad Cave with my dad, Stephen Hayes.
And my dad, Mark Chester.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dad Cave Christmas special, Christmas party, whatever we're calling it. Yeah, we're feeling the festive cheer. Yeah. If you're listening and not watching, I've got a festive jumper on, and Mark doesn't. He's just wearing a...
No, this is my Christmas jumper. I know it's all navy blue, but it does have a slight pattern.
Yeah.
So I guess that's about as Christmassy as it gets for me when it comes to jumpers.
Yeah. Well, Mark, how are you doing?
What's going on? Thanks. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. How are you?
I'm well. I'm just off the back of a house move.
Oh.
So four months with family, extended family.
Ooh.
And it's been an interesting time.
How's it gone? Tell us about it.
Just before
Christmas as well.
Yeah.
So that's a got the difficult key, time to move.
Got the keys on the 30th of November.
Is that good or not? Is it nice to think, right, we're in a new home, we're getting ready for Christmas, or is it being a bit pressurised?
I would say yes. I think both. I think in my head, we didn't have as many boxes in storage as I remember, and we just kind of unpacked quickly and then make everything look Christmas and festive. And it hasn't really happened. But no, yeah, it's been fine. I can kind of segue here, Mark, into the dad lemma for this week.
Yes.
Because we've just moved and just before Christmas, so lots going on. And last night, I probably had about 3.5 hours sleep. And people listening might think, yeah, it sounds like it. So I had my whole family, it was like they'd conspired against me. Because our first night in the new house. And the first thing that happened was they're bigger rooms and tall and higher ceilings. So it's harder to keep the thing warm. So I bought hot water bottles for the girls with little teddy dog kind of covers. I think that'll keep them nice and warm. But the monitor for our youngest, Lottie, was showing like 14 degrees, which is quite cold. So I was worried about that. So I was getting extra blankets for her, making sure she was okay. She woke up once or twice, went and put the heating on, got back into bed, kind of just like, right, time to unwind a bit. And I must have been asleep for about 4 minutes and then just heard Imogen, our oldest, talking at full volume like it was the middle of the day. And I thought, what on earth is she doing? I'm lying in bed and I can just hear her just chatting.
Yeah.
And I was ready to go in and be like, is she confused in the new house? Does she think it's morning? And I went in and she was fast asleep.
So she was just talking in her sleep?
Just talking in her sleep.
Oh.
Having a full-on conversation with no one. And so I got back into bed and then I'm just lying there and I can just hear this little conversation going on. And then because we've been unboxing stuff, I think a lot of dust had been flying around the house. So
yeah.
Beck was a little nasal, which I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing with everyone.
Snoring.
She wasn't snoring. She right. wasn't. But there was like just this sporadic, and I'm quite a light sleeper. So
you must be a light sleeper.
And then, but then you're waiting for it and just waiting for it. And yeah, I didn't have a good night's sleep. So my dad lemma is really, what do you do when you're knackered and your kids seem like they've worked together to stop you from sleeping?
Well,
is that paranoid?
No, it's not paranoid. And you said it's almost as if they've conspired against me. Do you think they might conspire against? Do you think they might hold a little meeting that like and discuss between them about, okay, well, how can we keep dad awake tonight?
Yeah,
how can we really test just to build his character up,
just
to help him improve as a father? What can we do? maybe they do.
It would not surprise me, and the dog probably gets in on it as well. So yeah, it's good, but we're kind of eager now to get boxes away and start to feel a bit Christmassy.
Have you got decorations up yet?
The tree is up, but not decorated.
Okay,
it's inbuilt lights. We're not a fresh tree family, but we got a good one in the sale a few years ago. You know, so
yeah.
Now, Mark, talking of Christmas, in our conversations today, I've realised that you're not a big fan of Christmas.
I'm not.
Tell me, why is that?
Yeah, it sounds a bit bar humbug, doesn't it? But I find it just, there's a lot of pressure at Christmas, isn't there, in a lot of different ways. And what I would say is there are some really nice moments at Christmas, which I really enjoy. Mm. But overall, I think there's so much expectation on us, so much pressure. You know, there's the politics of where you're going to go, who you're going to spend time with. Mm. There's lots of social events, which is lovely, but they're all compressed into a short space of time. If you're an introvert, that's quite testing.
Are you an
introvert?
Quite
exhausting. I would say I'm an introvert. Yeah. I enjoy socializing, but I need a bit of time away from it. And when you get all of that compressed into one, and it feels a lot of pressure sometimes, you sort of go into it with the expectation that you think you're going to get lots of rest and you don't get lots of rest. There's all that stress of, which I have to admit is not my stress, of buying lots of presents and who to, you know, Sue's very good at doing all that, but I can see it does, the stress on her of doing all that. And then getting everything, all the plans for cooking and I kind of feel like that takes away some of the enjoyment of Christmas. And actually the whole idea of it's great, but expectations are often so high and it can be quite testing. That said, there are some lovely moments in it. How about you? Do you enjoy Christmas?
Yeah, I do. I really, really like Christmas, but I like it done in a way that I've got an idea in my head of how I want Christmas to go. Mm. And I love the idea of that, but how it plays out is often not quite like that. So similar, you know, down the years, both of us are from split families, so a lot of people to get around. You know, we have like every day of December is Christmas with someone almost, you know. Mm. And even last year, I remember thinking, I knew what I was getting for Christmas, and that just took away some of the kind of like excitement of, because I'm a big gifts person. Beck knew what she was getting from me, so that took away from some of the excitement there. And I think it was like quite busy work, and I just didn't really have time to soak it in. So this year I've been thinking, I really want to just feel Christmassy. Mm. But then the house move and everything else, and the realities of, oh, it's like 2 weeks left until Christmas. So I still have hope for this Christmas. But what you said, I think that's kind of like, it's like joy compressed. And you compress anything in it and it starts to put weight, pressure, expectation on. And all the adverts, you know, seeing the family scenes, and it all seems like some sort of quaint, you know, Victorian feast, and everything's just so, nobody's pulling the hair out. You don't see like parents screaming at their kids in the aisle of Lidl or whatever. Like the adverts don't typically tend to depict that side of Christmas, you know, relational strain, all that stuff doesn't go away. But I think Christmas shines a light on all the hardest parts of your life and can make you feel like it shouldn't be this way, because all the adverts are telling me, you know, I should be befriending a hare and, you know, whatever else is out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's right. And but then there are some lovely moments. I think when the kids are the age your children are, Imi and Lottie are at,
2 and 4,
there is a lot of joy in seeing the joy in them, isn't there? Seeing the things that they enjoy, the things perhaps they do at school or nursery, you know, the nativity, the opening of presents on Christmas morning. So I do remember, you know, those joyful times and with great fondness. And but then I also do remember some Christmases where I basically spent the whole Christmas day putting toys together or putting batteries into toys or trying to work out with them how something works, or, you know, and it's literally by the end of it, you're absolutely exhausted because all you've done is guide them
build
through
toys,
building and preparing and opening and assembling and getting rid of all the waste paper that comes with it and the rubbish. And
so I think there's things you can do to mitigate against some of that, you see.
Okay.
So for example, one thing I just know to be an irritant, and it's completely irrational, but I find it quite irritating on Christmas Day when the presents are open and everything's just everywhere. And often we'll not stay at home for Christmas. We'll go to my mum's or to my dad's. And so this year I've bought 2 festive looking boxes to put all that stuff in. So if we're heading off, Imi's got a box, Lottie's got a box, and that's that. I know where the bin bags are. All the stuff will go straight in the bin bag. So I'm kind of like, I'm preparing for some of that. Always make sure you have batteries in the house. I think some of my childhood biggest Christmas disappointments as a child was you've got a new toy and there's no batteries in it and we don't have batteries in the house and nowhere's open. And I remember thinking, being incredulous with my dad. How could you have not thought this through? You've had a year for this moment and I'm sat here disappointed. So yeah, I think some of that stuff is quite stressful, but there are ways around it. I wonder, do you think, Mark, are there stresses at this time of year that are particularly acute for dads that aren't the same stresses and strains perhaps that mums might face?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think it often depends on the relationship, doesn't it, and people's responsibilities in that relationship. But one of the things that comes to mind is sometimes finances can be tight at Christmas, can't they? And that can play on your mind.
Especially this year.
Yeah.
You go to pick up a few bits from the shop and it's like 40 quid every time.
Yeah. Toys are expensive, food's expensive. And then it's kind of like, right, okay, how are we going to make this work? And then how much work am I going to have to do come the new year to recover from that? So that can be a pressure that a lot of dads can feel. I think there is the pressure of expectation, isn't it, as well, to bring some joy to the situation when you might not be feeling joyful yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure to enjoy every possible moment over Christmas and be thrilled by everything that happens, and I wonder whether we just need to be a bit more realistic and think, well, lower our expectations a little and just look for those individual moments of joy that will happen, but it might not be a continual feeling throughout the whole period, really.
Yeah.
And how about you? I mean, what are you looking forward to, and what are you not looking forward to?
Well, I think, you know, some jobs will be jobs where once you clock off at 5 o'clock, that's it, and you'll come in the next day and there'll be fresh things that will start and finish in that working day. Myself, and I'm sure others listening, and you included, Mark, might be in a job where there's lots of ongoing projects, where there's always, you know, something that's got a deadline that's coming. And I find I can get into a bit of a false... I feel like time works differently because you think, that's next year. But it's like, no, next year is like 20 days away or so, or somewhere around that. And you think, well, actually, that's not that much. So I think... there's the pressure to like wrap everything up in your life with a neat little bow so that when you go off at Christmas, you can just kick off your shoes, put the slippers on, deck the halls, wish goodwill to all men and peace on earth and do all of that stuff. But I think the reality is a lot of that stuff isn't achievable. And I think I would see this in myself. I would recognize in myself, so I'm sure others listening would feel it. Like sometimes it's taking the pressure off myself to be like, do you know what? All this stuff would be great to get it wrapped up. It'd be great to have a clear inbox going into the new year. It'd be great for the house we've just moved into to be perfectly furnished and decorated and, you know, all the other stuff. But actually, how much of that is achievable? And am I just basically heaping coals onto myself by adding to that? But I don't think it's always easy to take the pressure off ourselves, especially when we're wanting to give everyone a Christmas that they're going to remember.
Yeah, no, that's true. So let's have a really positive moment here for a second.
Okay, great.
So one memory of being a dad at Christmas. Have you got a really strong memory? It might be something you do each year, or it might be something that you just did one year. Have you got something that's actually, you know what, I really enjoyed doing that with the kids?
Yeah, I think one thing we never really did that we do with our kids is the whole, putting out stuff for Santa and the reindeer.
Mm.
And I find that really cute. I think it was McDonald's, actually, a couple of years ago, had this thing on their app. Incredible, really, where you can take a video of your lounge or your sitting room or wherever your tree is, and... it then puts a reindeer in situ, and there's just it was really realistic, a reindeer just eating carrots. So we did that, and Beck, my wife, you know, put out the Santa that comes to our house on Christmas Eve likes a little tipple of single malt and a biscuit rather than a mince pie and milk. So they set that out for Santa. There's a carrot, and then we do like the whole flat boots in the flower and make it look like there's footprints. And we actually have a chimney now, which will make that more believable. So I don't know what Imi and Lottie thought that was before we had a chimney. But that's really cute. And it kind of feels like, you know, however long the Santa thing lasts, we're very much like, he delivers the presents, we pay for it. The thank you goes to us. The appreciation goes to us. He's just a glorified postman, really. But that's something that's really cute and really sweet. And I think for us now, it's kind of like early in marriage. I think the first year we were married, it was like Vicar of Dibley. You know the one where she has the three Christmas dinners? And have you ever seen that?
No. Tell me about it.
It's the Vicar of Dibley. So she gets invited to three different places. And she says yes to all of them because she's this lovely vicar lady. And it's hilarious. Like she has like a 12 o'clock lunch somewhere, then a 2 o'clock lunch, and then a dinner. And by the end of it, she's just completely done. And we did that one year. Like we went to see Beck's dad in the morning. Then we saw my brother and sister-in-law and their kids. Then we went to my mum's and we saw my dad in the evening. Mm. And our first Christmas ended with Beck crying. And I was like, right, that's not good. Mm. So I think part of it is actually finding the core of what the season's about.
Mm.
For some people, that will be just quality time with family, a bit of a moment to assess where you're at, you know, to look ahead, to look back at the things you're thankful for, to look forward at the things that you have vision for. But yeah, I think, and those traditions I'm sure will grow as time goes by.
Hmm.
I'm wondering, Lindsay, I want to bring you in and see if there's anything that we've been talking about. Like, do you think in your family, do you see any pressures on Graham that are different for you, or do you have any traditions that you think, oh, this is the stuff that I really, really relish?
I think overall, I would say that the majority of Christmas planning can often fall to mums, be it in things like presents for extended family, wrapping presents.
100%, yeah.
Getting stuff sorted for school, presents for the teachers.
Yeah, I've bought Beck her present, that's it. Everything else is sorted.
Yeah, so I think mums can feel that weight of responsibility of just having all the planning and even all the Christmas dinner planning, all that kind of stuff. But I've been trying to think about what kind of jobs dads do at Christmas that's sort of different and what that might look like. So I was thinking things like in our family, it'd be like getting the Christmas decorations out the loft, putting out the outside lights. What are some of the jobs that you do or that you think dads traditionally do at Christmas?
It's my job to put the star on the tree. That's sacred.
Yeah.
But it's a good point.
I have to say well done because that's a huge commitment.
Yeah. But as Lindsay, as you were saying that, I'm thinking, actually, why is it so stressful? Because it sounds like...
I'm scrambling to answer your question there, Lindsay, because I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, we do get the Christmas decorations out of the loft.
Yeah, I did that.
And what else?
What about carving the turkey? Yeah. Does that fall to dads?
Yeah.
Often.
But that's pretty minimal, isn't it? I don't know. I think the pressure is different because I think with the mums in the family, if it's a two-parent family, of course, then... the pressure is on for the detail and for all the granular stuff. Whereas I think the pressure I would feel, so this might be echoed by others and maybe you, Mark, can pitch in, but I think the pressure I would feel would be in the macro, in the kind of like, is everyone doing okay? Is everyone happy? Can we afford all of this? You know, have I been in the detail enough? Because I don't want to get home on December the 22nd this year when we all kind of break up because it's quite a late finish this year and be like, oh, we're like every single day is busy. So in fact, this is one thing I've got right this year is looking at the house move, looking at how busy Christmas gets. I went into our diary and put in date night every week just to make sure we don't miss each other because I thought actually we've been in a house that's not our own as much as it was home for the time we were there, but we've been in a house that's not our own for 4 months, and then we're hurled into the Christmas season, and the diary just fills up like really quickly. And so I was kind of like, at the pace we're going at, we might not see each other until 2024. So I think for me, the pressure is, yeah, kind of just the responsibility of some of the kind of bigger things, but also not delegating so much that actually it plays out in a way that I'm not happy with.
Just staying involved as well, isn't it? I think it's that classic kind of thing where you, the kids are opening the presents on Christmas Day, and then the dad goes, "Oh, who's that from?" And you're like, "Oh, it's from us. It's from Mum and Dad."
Yeah, almost spat out my tea then.
Yeah, there are plenty of moments like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To like the nieces. Oh, they're lovely earrings. Who got you those? You did, Uncle Stephen. I'm like, yes.
Do you think there's a pressure, sorry, for dads to bring the fun element? You mentioned this earlier, Mark, about being fun. Oh, something about those Christmas traditions. Do you think the dads feel the pressure to make it special and bring that extra element of fun?
Yeah, I think so. But whether it's pressure or not, I don't know. Because what I was going to say was, one of the things that I took responsibility for a number of years, and I'm aware that this isn't a massive responsibility, but it created some really memorable moments, was that when Meg and Billy were teenagers, I used to organise a Boxing Day game of football for families. So I would just put the word out that we were going to turn up at a football pitch on Boxing Day in the morning with a football. Anybody was welcome to join us. And loads of families came along, and we just split up into two teams, all ages, and we had a game of football. Sue would make some hot chocolate and take some biscuits, and we'd stop and have that, you know, half time. But it was just fun. And no matter what weather, 1 year it snowed. There was snow on the ground. We still turned up and played football.
Did you have an orange ball?
We didn't manage to source an orange ball, sadly, but that would have been classic, wouldn't it? Yeah. But it that did just create a lot of memories. Everybody really enjoyed it, whether they love football or not. Really, it was just about getting together, just having fun, particularly on Boxing Day, the day after you've been sat round all day eating food and perhaps doing very little, just to get out in the fresh air and have a run around. People looked forward to it, and Meg and Billy have some fond memories of it. So I used to just take responsibility for organising that, and it created some lovely memories.
And as you said that, whilst I can't imagine planning a football match on Boxing Day, I think there's a bit of there's something in what you said there about having something in that post-Christmas lull that you just look forward to, that's just fun. Because I think especially on Christmas Day, you like the next day, like, you know, it's all over, and you, even whatever you think about Christmas, you can come out of it like, oh, all the positive messaging about goodwill and joy can kind of like feel a bit bleak then when you come into January.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, having a few things post-Christmas to kind of just have fun that isn't about perfection, but it's just about the fun, is something I might look into, Mark.
You do that. And we've talked about the ups and downs of Christmas. Perhaps it's now time to get into a bit of more of a festive spirit.
Yeah.
Should we pull our crackers?
Yes, indeed. Let's do that. Okay, so
you've got the red one, I've got the green one.
I have a prediction that I'm going to win both of these.
You're going to win both. Okay. Are we going to just take it? Like, yeah, do one
I'll
by
lean
one?
To you, then you lean to me.
Okay, so Steve,
I've won the first one, everyone.
Okay,
next one.
So we'll pull this crack, and then we'll read the jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Just crack it. I did win both of them.
He did win both of them.
Do you know what my trick is?
What is your trick?
I find typically if the other person does the pulling,
yeah,
you tend to get the thing. Right, I'm going to throw you your cracker.
So competitive.
So.
Even over the pulling of a cracker.
I'm really competitive. Now, these jokes aren't going to be our dad jokes for this episode. People will be relieved to know. Mark, come on, hat mate.
A hat?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I can guarantee you that this hat will not fit my head because I have got an enormous head. Did you know that?
I thought the hats were like
I have got an enormous universal. Head. Sniper's dream. So.
Yeah, it looks...
There you go. Told you. It doesn't fit my head.
All right, anyway, fair enough.
I'll wear it like that and look very stupid.
So these jokes won't be our official dad jokes for this episode. They'll be a bit of an hors d'oeuvre, shall we say, a starter, Mark, that is.
Okay. Thank you for translating.
This
I needed
is
that.
The French onion soup of the joke.
Are you going to read your joke first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you just working out? Are you pausing because you're working out how to put dramatic effect into reading
yeah,
this joke?
No, it's just, it's really,
just go for
it's
it.
It's really disappointing.
Go on then.
How do sheep greet each other at Christmas?
I don't know. How do sheep greet each other at Christmas?
Merry Christmas to E-W-E, you.
Yeah, dreadful. Okay.
I've got to stop, like, trying to explain the joke. Yeah. Go on, Mark.
What goes oh, oh, oh?
Don't know.
Santa walking backwards.
Okay.
I haven't got a clue. I can't even explain that one to you, but that was what was in the cracker.
Okay, well, it made me feel sad.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got my own Christmas dad
right,
joke
come on
now.
Then. Let's do our
this
own jokes.
This is a self-penned one. And it kind of...
It's you've made this joke up.
Yeah, and it,
oh,
I think...
No.
It, I think
we're
it,
in trouble.
It's
brace
whimsical,
yourself,
but it also taps into the realities of the hardship of Christmas.
Will this need some explanation? Because normally your jokes need some explanation.
It,
and even then we struggle to
no,
understand
No, I don't
them.
Think it does.
Okay. Go on then, fire away.
Why did Santa take Christmas off this year?
I don't know. Why did Santa take Christmas off this year?
He had problems with his mental elf.
That's possibly the best joke I've ever heard you tell, Stephen, to be honest.
It kind of taps into having the conversation about mental health.
Yes.
It's Christmassy.
It is, yeah.
And it works on a couple of levels.
Yeah, it does. Well done. Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, a layered joke. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
Okay, so why was the turkey in the pop group?
Don't know. Why was the turkey in the pop group?
Because he was the only one with drumsticks.
Wow. I mean, it's...
Even my hat's just fallen off.
I know.
My hat didn't even like the joke.
No, yeah. Yeah, it was okay. I think your delivery was fine.
Was it? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So, Mark, how do we bring this thing into land?
Yeah, well, I think it's just wishing everybody out there a happy Christmas and wishing one another a happy Christmas.
Yeah, indeed. And I'd say, just to sum up, really, for anyone listening, take that to heart. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't spend money you don't have. You know, most of the best memories you'll make aren't the ones that cost a lot of money. If you're struggling with the pressure of it all, talk to a friend, talk to someone. And we wish you a very Merry Christmas and we'll see you in the new year.
Happy Christmas.
The Dad Cave podcast was brought to you by Care for the Family. If you're a Care for the Family partner listening, thank you so much. The support we give wouldn't be possible without you. If you're listening to this and you're not a partner, but you'd like to join the thousands of people who are standing with us monthly, you can do that at cff.org.uk/donate. And as a thank you, we'll send you a pack of resources for you and your family. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.